Hello, hello, hello. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jordan.
And welcome to the show. That's usually when you say double trouble features.
Bro, are you making fun of me the way I...
No, I was waiting for it.
Oh, I know you were waiting for it, but like I kind of was going to spice it up a little bit. But
Name is Joe, and welcome to Double Trouble Features.
Oh, okay. It's not as cool. Doesn't have as much sauce.
See, that's why I was waiting for it.
Okay, because, you know, I go Double Trouble Features. See, there we go. Got a little sauce, a little flavor, you know, a little excitement.
Yeah, you just have to go on cue. Yeah.
Anyway,
show business, baby.
Show business. Anyway, welcome back to the pod where, you know, two lovable bears right here.
You cannot call yourself a bear.
I can't be a black bear?
Darling, sweet, you're gonna start getting on lists. You're gonna get tagged in things.
Okay,
just don't.
I wasn't talking about in a sexual reference.
Don't
I'm
put
just
yourself.
You know,
don't
not,
call yourself
a
bear. Don't put
reference.
It in there. God,
I was thinking like, you know, brother bear. You know,
yeah, maybe. That's exactly what I thought you meant, and that's exactly what people on the internet will immediately reference is right. Disney's brother bear.
There we go. Great movie, by the way. Anyway, we're kind of off topic, but welcome back. Please make sure you're subscribing on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and of course Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We got a great show. What's going on for today, Joe?
Well, we are going to dive into a few things. We're going to talk about, of course, the SAG Awards and what just happened on Netflix.
Ooh.
We're going to get into the wins, the highs, the lows, all that fun stuff. We're going to get into a little bit of talk about our movies. I'm going to be talking about Mea Culpa. Again, Netflix. I'm in a Netflix.
Culpa.
Mea Culpa.
The French?
What are you?
I don't know what Mea Culpa is.
It's really Latin.
Don't.
It's Latin.
Oh, it's Latin? Okay.
It's Latin. Basically saying that I did it.
For those audio listeners, he looked at me like I was the biggest dumbass in the world. And I am. So there we go.
Is that French?
I'm going to talk about the holdovers. Then we're going to talk about our TV shows, our recommendations. And then, of course, we got to do our little catch-up on LIB.
Love is Blind. They're doing the Lord's work over there.
Yes.
It's kind of a Netflix episode.
Yeah, it is a lot of Netflix.
Sponsor me, Netflix, please.
All right, so... our quick topic of today is we're going to talk about the SAG Awards. First, if you didn't watch it, you know, on CBS or ABC or any other basic channels, this time it's on Netflix.
I thought it was only on Netflix.
It is only on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
It's weird. Like, Netflix is definitely trying to get people more into the live event side of things, which is interesting because their model has always been so specific to streaming. Prior to that, it was DVDs. Yeah. But it was all about, like, a home experience. But they never really touched on live. I think with Love is Blind, they, like, started testing those reunions out, those finales out.
Yeah,
and I
think, like, the first time they kind of started was when they weren't dropping all episodes at one time. When they started doing a couple, like, weeks for the episodes. Let's see what... the CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox model. Let's kind of see how that's testing. And then now, right now, it is the streaming wars.
Yeah.
All these streaming companies, they are all kind of maxed out for subscribers. Like, let's be honest, you're not randomly just going to get a Netflix. Everybody either has Netflix, or if you haven't got Netflix now, you're not going to get it now.
That's a very interesting point, because you're right. Like, if you have decided to get it, you have it.
It's
done.
Yeah.
And so that subscription, that's also why they keep raising their prices.
Yeah, because there's a plateau in the subscription model. Like, subscription model is not a 100% growth model. And when you got shareholders, they need their bottom dollar. So,
and they need that growth.
Yeah. And so you have a lot of these streaming services going after live events. For example, on Max, they're getting sports.
Yeah, they are.
They're all TNT, Bleacher Report. They're getting all the sports that they can. They're now, well, since they have the Warner Brother label, they now are having live CNN news.
I mean, it's really interesting with Warner Discovery specifically. It's really interesting just because they are so huge at this point. They've just like blown up. Part of it is a lot due to a lot of like the interest in true crime. Discovery really got themselves in the game, and then that's why they acquired Warner Brothers, and like why it's gone all this way. But
so because Warner Brothers has a lot of debt. So
I mean, don't we all? Like when you gonna come bail me out, please, Discovery?
But going back to Netflix. Netflix is trying to again sweeten the deal of like having some of these live events. They're doing, it's not the French Open, but one of the tennis matches live. And now here's the SAG Awards, which it's not the Oscars. No. It's not the Emmys. It's not the Grammys. The
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah. And so it's a smaller acting award show, but still very significant.
Significant in the fact that it does kind of lay the groundwork for what we say. All that's why the Oscars is always at the end, because we see how these goes. There were upsets. There were people like who were surprised that they won. But let's get into it a little bit.
Yeah. So to be honest, a lot of it was kind of similar to what we predict is going to happen in the Oscars, and that happened in the Golden Globes.
I mean, Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr. won for Oppenheimer. Because of course they did, because, you know, Oppenheimer is just the best movie that's ever been made ever.
It's a great movie.
My issues with it. Anyway.
You're just bored of it.
Like, I'm so tired of talking about an atomic bomb. I'm so tired of it. And I think that's fair. I think there is so such thing as oversaturation of a medium, of a movie, of all that. I think that a lot of people felt it with Barbie. I did not, but I am feeling it with Oppenheimer.
I am feeling it not necessarily with Oppenheimer itself. But I really feel like we just need to take a chill pill on World War II.
Please. Oh, my God. You're preaching to the choir. Like,
okay, so 1917. Have you seen 1917?
Yes, I've seen
1917. It's amazing because it's talking about World War I, which is more brutal, which is more crazy, and things are like, but World War II is the most overplayed like movie like genre that I've seen. And I'm not saying like you can't do new things, but like literally what's the guy from Elvis?
Austin Butler.
Yeah, Austin Butler is doing an entirely new TV show on Apple TV that I'm going to watch and tell you guys about later. on Apple TV about World War II. Like, it's just like, God, I can never get a break from World War II.
Look, I've been saying this since I was a child. Every fucking World War II movie my history teacher forced me to watch, my dad forced me to watch, my grandpa forced me to watch. I've been studying for World War II since birth.
Anyway,
he tried to fact check me too.
For the ladies, we have Lily Gladstone, who won for Killers of the Flower Moon. Which I think not 100% she deserved. I think she was great in it. Shocked Emma Stone didn't actually win it though.
I don't know. I've been seeing some like a little more heat on Poor Things lately. Like, I feel like I've seen people kind of turning on it.
Like, why?
Mainly like third wave feminists that are like, the sex is too much. I still haven't seen it, so I can't really speak.
It's a
on
lot
it.
Of sex.
I've heard both sides of it, so I'm not like ultimately surprised. I think it's a polarizing movie,
very polarizing,
and
I'm
so
actually,
it's
a good movie.
And I mean, that's why it's. I think that's why she's not winning, is because it is a polarizing performance. It is a polarizing thing. But you can never go wrong with World War II.
Facts. As a man. It just do World War II and you'll get a nomination. Supporting role, we have Divine. Oh my gosh. It's the movie we're going to talk about, The Holdovers. She did a fantastic job. I think Paul Giamatti was amazing, and I think he did a great job as being the lead role. But Divine really gave The Holdover is another breath of life.
Yeah.
And I think because it's such a small cast, especially at one point where there's only the three of them, she really does do a lot of lifting, and she's fantastic in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard amazing things. This seems deserved.
Yeah. I think, though, me being honest, Danielle Brooks for Color Purple, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I'm kind of surprised Penelope Cruz is on this list. Not because I'm surprised she's on this list, but just that we haven't really seen her on much other lists.
I'm just surprised. Like, to be honest, the main person I'm surprised is Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer. I think she does a fine job, but, like, best supporting, like...
I mean, she was one of two actresses in that movie.
Exactly.
Because that movie... Exactly. And that's the other thing. Is like, that movie is just like the opposite of diversity, the opposite of anything.
It's the opposite of Barbie.
It's the opposite, antithesis. I'm so glad I watched Oppenheimer first, because that movie bummed me the fuck out all day.
I love Oppenheimer. But outstanding cast, Oppenheimer won.
Yes.
And I think well-deserved.
I think that's fair.
Yes, with...
I think they all worked very well together and did create some...
Matt Damon was great. Matt Damon was fantastic in that movie. Robert Downey Jr., of course. Cillian Murphy. Florence.
I forgot that Casey Affleck was in that.
Yeah. 100%. And then outstanding performance in stunt, Mission Impossible, which I love the Mission Impossible series. Great action. Amazing.
I guess I'm just not familiar with this kind of like this setup. Like, I didn't even know that was a category.
Yeah, no. So because it's a Screen Actors Guild, mm-hmm. they take stunt people also yeah. into consideration. But I actually do love, and I wish kind of the Oscars kind of did this, but like, I love the ensemble part. Of like, mm-hmm. yeah, you have your standout roles and you have, you know, this is the best movie.
Yeah.
But that best movie involves sound, it involves cinematography, direction, and everything like that. But like, who's just the best cast?
Yes. Yeah. Who works well together? It's very important, that chemistry. And like, I feel like sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. And when we do, it needs to be praised. So yeah. I wish that they praised more ensembles.
Yeah. And so going into TV, you know, one of our favorite categories, Beef took everything for limited series. Love Beef. Again, if you have not watched Beef, you should definitely watch Beef. You haven't seen it, right?
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen the first couple episodes.
Man. Okay, I'm done with this, man. Then here was the big controversy of the night. We all know who has been winning. Lead actor this entire time. We all know who's been winning.
Yeah, but I don't know about should have.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying should. I just meant he's been winning every single other.
Yes.
Other award show. And so little Pedro was a little drunky drunk for it, because he definitely didn't think he was going to win, because he hasn't won any of the other ones.
Well, Kieran Culkin has won all of these freaking things. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, it's interesting, because I almost wonder if he's been winning. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it by any means. I think he did an amazing job. But we know that The Last of Us is going to keep going. And we know that Succession is not. And I have heard people say that they voted for certain people because it's their time, not necessarily that it was better, but like, they needed there was a lot of with Jamie Lee Curtis last year. They were like, she's winning just because it's the first time she's even been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So
but I'm like, being honest, spoiler alert for Last of Us. I mean, this is Pedro's last, this next season is going to be his last season. So spoiler alert. I'm just, I told you, spoiler alert. Yeah, this is Pedro's last season, so like, he doesn't really have time either.
I don't know. I feel like HBO knows how to really stretch shit out that doesn't need to.
All right, if he lives and goes to the next season, it show's ruined. I'm just letting you know.
Just bring back Nick Offerman, it'll be fine. Even though he is dead. No, but Pedro, we love you.
Sweetie. Love Pedro.
He asked to smell Pedro. Kieran's armpits, and I watched that video, and I was like, damn, this really is becoming a thing, isn't it?
Would you smell Pedro's armpits?
Of course. If he asked me to, because he asked me, he's like, do you want to smell my pits? And Kieran's like, no, I don't want to smell you. And he's like, I'm drunk. You want to smell my pits? And Kieran's like, no. First of all, that's the first time I've been like, you know what? Maybe he is straight.
Who, Pedro?
Kieran. Oh, not Kieran? Pedro.
Oh, Kieran. Definitely questionable.
questionable, but if you are going to sit there and refuse to sniff Pedro Pascal's beautiful armpits on camera,
it
you're not...
Stank. You, it could have stank.
In a good way. In a
all right. Next. Elizabeth won for best female.
Elizabeth Debicki. She deserves this as Princess Di.
Yep, and I'll admit, I have not seen The Crown.
Yeah. Now you're a disappointment to me.
All right, but I've seen every single other one. And except for Morning Show. I've not watched The Morning Show.
I've watched The Morning Show.
Bella Ramsey, I think, did a great job. I think Kerry Russell did good in The Diplomat. But I'm actually shocked that Sarah didn't win it in Succession.
I
think Shiv is just such a interesting character.
I think you would be less surprised if you watched The Crown.
You know, facts.
Because I do think that she does play like a bad bitch and she did deserve it. But I don't think that Elizabeth Debicki didn't deserve it because she, the way she encapsulates Princess Di in like the idea that she's kind of soft, but I don't know. It's yeah, just no. She embodies
understandable
Princess Di.
But of course, the Ooh. Sweep in every single award show has been my favorite show of last year, The Bear.
Jeremy Allen White.
If you have not seen The Bear, guys, again, I don't know how many times I gotta say you see The Bear. Because they keep winning. They keep winning. The interracial couple of love.
Are they even together?
They're not together at all. They're not together at all.
I was like, did I miss something?
No, they're not together. They're not even together in the show. So
yeah,
like,
no.
It's just, but interracial love. There we go.
True. Iowa Debris. We love you.
Yep.
Irish queen.
She is Irish, isn't she?
No.
Is she not? I swear
like,
to God.
That was like a joke.
Oh, is it a joke?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a lot of stuff where they were like, oh, we love you, like blah, 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 blah. It was a joke. We can move on.
Is she not?
We can fact check it later.
Yeah, we'll fact check it later.
But
don't know what she is. But I know she's not from this country. Anyway, outstanding performance by an ensemble. Of course, this
Succession.
Was...
Like,
yeah, of course.
Who else could it be? That whole show was just an ensemble cast that, yeah. Like, that's a thing about Succession that I like so well is that if you took out one of the characters, it would shift the entire show. Like, all of the characters play such an important role in the family and in the ensemble. And I don't think you could do anything. Like, even Cousin Greg. If it wasn't for Cousin Greg fucking up half this shit.
You need Greg.
The whole show would have been. Like, Tom, he needed to be in the end of it. But it's just... Very few times you have an ensemble cast this large
yeah.
where every role is actually that necessary to the story.
Yeah.
And no, so, facts. I mean, that's why they won.
And then, I actually, not going to lie, I thought Abbott Elementary was going to win for best ensemble for
you know,
a comedy
I think
series.
That I can see why.
Guys, I'm a huge, huge, I'm a former teacher. I watched the crap out of Abbott Elementary. And like you just said, every single person is pivotal, mm-hmm. including the janitor. Love Abbott. But The Bear, of course, I think the deep dive that they did into each character's like live and yeah. stuff like that, I actually think it's great.
I think that was really good about season, because season one of The Bear, it did what it did. It was a pilot season. It was supposed to set up the story.
It was great.
Set the stakes, and it was fantastic. But season two really dove into their interpersonal connections to each other,
yeah.
to the city, to yeah. like all the different aspects of it. So I agree. I am not surprised at all. I'm interested that it's in, like, The Bear is against Abbott Elementary. Like, that's just...
So, actually, that's actually been a controversy because a lot of people have been saying The Bear is not really a comedy.
It's funny.
Like, it's just like Succession.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
And so, like...
But Succession was in... Maybe they just didn't want to pit...
Succession was drama.
Maybe they didn't want to pit The Bear and Succession against
each
other.
And The Bear isn't comedy. You can see, like, you can definitely say, like, the first season of The Bear was definitely more on the comedy side. But this season was definitely more on the drama side.
I mean, this season was, like, heartbreak. Like, there was 100%. It was just 100%. So much.
Loved it, though. And last but not least, best stunt, Last of Us. I don't really see a lot of other stuff. Actually, I mean, no, not really. Let's be honest. Last of Us definitely deserved it. The Mandalorian, maybe.
Yeah, I was like, I was looking at it and I was like, Ahsoka and Mandalorian, I'm just happy they're in the room. Like that Beef is on here.
For the driving? I do not know why that's in there. But yeah, any surprises? Anything that's like really caught you off guard or anything?
I mean, not really. It's been kind of a very
consistent,
consistent slot, and as someone say basic award season. There really aren't any upsets past Greta not getting nominated for an Oscar.
All right. Moving on to movies. What movie did you watch this week?
Okay, in Netflix land, I just watched Tyler Perry's Mea Culpa.
All right. Guys, I know I'm the black guy, so I probably should have watched this, but I was actually literally thinking about watching it today. So I'm very intrigued. How was it?
So it was as good as a Tyler Perry starring Kelly Rowland could be.
First of all, Kelly Rowland's fine as hell.
That has nothing to do with this. I mean, it does have some to do with this movie because it was a very, she was hot. And here's the thing.
There we go.
I feel like Tyler Perry, when he writes these movies, he's like self-inserting himself into like the female powerful role. Just, man, just let yourself be gay. Anyway, like, you don't have to dress up as a woman. Like, just, I mean, you can if you want to keep doing that. That's everywhere. But, like, I don't know. This movie, okay. So, what this movie is Kelly Rowland is, like, a high-profile defense attorney. She represents the scum of the earth, and she makes all this money doing it.
Bad bitch energy. Boss.
She's, like, the height of it. She has a husband who is unemployed, but he doesn't want to tell his family because they're all very highly successful. Because
broke dick will keep you there.
And, I mean, he does have a white mother, and the white mother is
he's mixed.
Actually evil. Like, she's crazy, but she's going through cancer treatment. So there's all this stuff going on. There is a her husband's brother. He is the assistant, or he's the AD. He's the district or DA. I mean, the district attorney. And so he right now there's a high profile murder case where this like Trevante Rhodes, love him so much, he plays this artist, and they think that he killed his girlfriend, and the DA, her brother-in-law, is going up against him, and they have all of this like watertight evidence against them. They literally have a video of the girl saying, if I'm dead, he's the one who killed me, like all this crazy shit, and all this stuff, and they're and so then he goes to Kelly Rowland. Mia is her name. Get it? Mea culpa. Which, fun fact, is Latin for basically, my bad, I did that, or in legal terms, it is an admission of guilt.
Ooh, okay.
So.
Okay. It's not French.
No, it's not French. It's Latin, yes. So in this film, basically Trevante goes up to Kelly Rowland. I'm really bad remembering their like character names. Trevante goes up to Kelly Rowland and he's like, hey, I really want you to represent me because I heard you're the best in the city. And she's like, you bet I am, but I don't know if I can represent you. I'm conflicted because of my husband. She goes home, husband starts being a bitch immediately, a little fucking bitch. And then he tells his brother, DA, and mom. They come over and they're like, you can't take this case. I don't know how you could possibly think you could take this case. Which, tell Kelly Rowland what not to do and see what happens.
She gonna do it to her
detriment. So she starts representing this case. She's going through it with Trevante. They're really getting into everything. And then things start to get a little heated. And there's obvious chemistry between them.
Does he take his shirt off?
Yes, he takes his shirt off multiple times. But what this man does in this movie is you can't tell if he's guilty or not because he's just gaslighting her the whole fucking time. Mm. Nonstop. Mm, and she's over here literally being like, "Hey, I have all of this evidence from your past girlfriend saying that you were like really abusive and awful and hurt them and did all these unspeakable things to them." And he's like, "But I'd never do that to you."
Ooh. And Kelly falls for
it. I don't know if she falls for it because like she keeps this man waiting for it. And he's just chomping at it. And he's like, but he also wants her to represent it. And so he's like, but he keeps like pulling that away. He's like, "Do you even want to represent me? Are you taking this seriously?" And she's like, "Motherfucker, are you? You keep trying to fuck me in your apartment. I have a husband." She's like, he's just like, "Oh, so you don't. So you don't fuck with me like that?" And she's like, "You might be on trial for murder."
Yep.
And it's very like,
it's
very like, and he's an artist. There's paint everywhere.
You know he fucks.
Do not watch this movie with your parents like I did.
You did it. With your dad?
My dad. With your dad? My father and my mother, yes.
Oh my God.
Something you don't know about the Spencer family is we love Tyler Perry movies.
Who don't?
I grew up watching them. Diary of a Mad Black Woman all the way up until Mea Culpa.
First of all, Diary of a Mad Black Woman deserves accolades. I need more awards for that movie because I really feel like that movie changed the entire landscape of like black media.
Absolutely. And Tyler Perry, I mean, there are some criticisms that do hold some weight, but like at the end of the day, he gave a voice and he gave jobs to
opportunities.
A lot of black actors. That's like a lot of people. And that's the thing, like Kelly Rowland, I didn't know this movie was coming out. Trevante Rose, I love these actors. I really do. And like seeing them in a movie together, it was just really fun and exciting.
Sharon Thornton is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then just white people.
No, it was a good movie. Like it good movie in the fact that it was enjoyable. Was it good? No.
So what would you rate it on a serious scale?
It's probably about a 4 or 5. It has a lot of pacing issues. The tone shifts dramatically. Like every other scene, it's very
that's a lot of Tyler Perry
movies. It's very jarring, and like there is a twist at the end, but you kind of like forget that this is a murder movie at some point because it basically just becomes about Kelly Rowland trying to live her life and like dealing with her bitch ass husband, dealing with that stupid family, like it kind of and then also dealing with her relationship with the thing, the fucking. Actual legal drama part of it all kind of falls to the side, which is why this movie, I think,
Tyler Perry movie.
Suffered.
It's a Tyler Perry movie.
But that being said, my personal rating, like, if I love this movie, it was so.
It's exactly what you wanted.
It's exactly what I wanted. Yeah. It is a Tyler Perry. Like, you know what you're getting into when you see Temptation, you see Acrimony, you see I Can Do Bad All By Myself. It is a little more serious than
sexiness.
Those movies. Yeah, it is a little more serious than those movies, but I think that Kelly Rowland kind of like takes that mantle up well. Like, she holds a serious role. Well, I think if she was like cracking jokes and doing all this shit, it would have looked weird.
Oh no!
I think with Taraji P. Henson, it makes sense. She's really she's really funny and like that kind of stuff. But I think that like they made the right decision there with Kelly Rowland. But like, this movie, there's so many dumb things that happen to it, or things in it where you're like, this is where you would walk away. Like, this is the moment where you would just stop talking. But she doesn't. But she keeps going back. He's sitting there and he's just like, "Oh, you need to come back to my loft so we can talk about this. I can't," because there's one scene where they're like in her office and he meets her husband and oh my God,
of course
it's just
they have to meet.
They have to meet. It's I don't
get a little bit of that struggle.
I don't know how to explain it other than this is a Tyler Perry drama. Take that with as many grains of salt as you want, but it is a fun ride through and through.
Good.
It switches up. You don't really know what movie you're watching, but that's kind of the fun part of it.
Okay. No, literally was thinking about watching it today. I'm not even kidding.
Well, now you know what to do
after
this.
I'm actually super happy you watched it.
Alrighty, well, tell me a little bit about what you got into today.
So, I'm on my last bit of Oscar movies.
Yeah, you're really committed to that.
I am committed. 100%. I want to be able to say, hey, I know what the hell the best picture is.
Now, I do want to watch this movie. This is still, I need to watch this one.
So, it's called The Holdovers. It's a great movie. I'll give it a solid 7 out of 10, maybe closer to an 8.
Wow.
No, it's great. Easiest premise to understand. Paul Giamatti plays this old asshole teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's a history buff, teaches ancient history, and he teaches at like an all-boy like Catholic school. And he has this one kid, Mr. Tully. That's what he calls him the entire time. So he calls everybody by their surname. And Mr. Tully is a smart asshole. He does pretty good, decent grades, but he's definitely a douchebag.
This is the kid?
This is the kid.
Okay.
So it's Christmas time. Everybody's going home, except for these like 5 kids. And Paul, which is Paul Giamatti, but his character is actually named Paul. Kind of weird. But Paul stays because he gets fucked over and he gets picked on. And he's like, all right, it's my turn to stay and watch these kids. Because I gave a D to an F to a senator's kid. So now I get punished.
Oh, my God.
And so it's him and 5 of these kids. And these kids fucking hate this teacher. He's an asshole. There's a little bit of fights here and there. The other kids really kind of don't care about Mr. Tully. And all of a sudden, this one dude's father finally is like, hey, I'm going to pick you up. Comes down in his helicopter. And he says, hey, any other kid who's stuck here can come and we can all go skiing.
Aw, that's so sweet.
And so they all call everybody's parents, and everybody's parents says yes, except for Mr. Tully's parents. They did not answer at all.
I mean, do you really need it? It's a helicopter. Like, I would have just been like, fine, kids, have fun.
And so the entire time, the crazy thing is he was actually expecting to go to a ski retreat. He was supposed to hang out with his mom. His mom has a newly married stepfather, and his stepfather is like, hey, you know, just not the best stepfather. He's the rich one. His mom married for money.
Good for her.
Mom is like, hey, we literally, this is her excuse. I'm sorry, babe. Don't be mad at me. But, you know, we still haven't had time to spend our honeymoon. So we thought we'll spend Christmas break without you and go on our honeymoon. What kind of asshole parents do that?
White ones.
White rich ones.
Like that's pretty common. And what's interesting is the kids, they kind of get used to it. Like the ones who like obviously this kid is new to, they get used to it. They're like, "Oh, I guess I'll just figure out something else to do." This is bored rich kids. This
100%.
This is where the 100%. Bored rich kids stem from, is because those parents, they would rather just not deal with them.
Yeah, and so that's the whole thing. So he feels alone, left here with his most hated teacher. And the one other character that's there is Mary, who's Divine. Mary, you really go into her backstory a lot about how her son died.
Jesus.
Her son's dead. Her husband's gone. So it's just her all by her lonesome. And like the entire movie, she's just struggling because her kid went to that private school and they couldn't afford college or anything like that. And he was like, hey, I'm going to go to the military and I'll get a GI Bill and then I'll go to college. And then he dies. And so she's struggling and battling like with this. Angus Tully, he's depressed because he has to deal with like his mom doesn't really care for him anymore. He feels like his mom has another, like, has a new husband and has a new, basically a new life. And then Paul Giamatti has no family, no friends. He's an asshole. Nobody likes him.
Mm.
And they all kind of form a bond. And it's kind of like it goes kind of how you expect it to go.
It's very Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah. They start building rapport, and that rapport goes up. You know, it has a climax. It goes down. Something happens. Everybody is crying. Everybody is like sad. You find out new things, new layers of each character, and it's very great acting. Like it's just great acting.
Yeah,
all around. Paul Giamatti. Here's the one thing that's weird about the movie, though. So Paul Giamatti has, and this is like actually like aesthetics. So he has a lazy eye, right? And it looks like it's just like a...
Like in real life or in the movie?
No, in the movie. He doesn't have a lazy eye in real life.
I didn't think so.
So in the movie, it looks like he has like some kind of like lens or like thing that goes into his eye. And scene after scene after scene, it switches. It switches. And so literally at one point, Angus, the kid is like, hey, yo, I'm being real with you. Which eye do I look at? Like, he's trying to be an asshole about it. But in actuality, what fucking eye do I look at? Because, like, I kid you not, Joe, in one scene, there is a close-up of Paul Giamatti, and the eye is, and the lazy eye is in his right. And then they switch the camera to him walking straight, and the lazy eye is in the left. Instantly.
But you said that the kid like asked about it.
Yes.
So it was like, was it a character choice?
I have no idea. I think it was a running joke. But like, Joe, he literally says, which eye do I look at? And he was like, this one. And he points at his left. And then the next scene, like in his left eye was fine. And literally the camera, not a scene, the camera changes angles. The fucking left eye is now the lazy eye. Like,
it's
actually funny. It's actually pretty funny because you're just like, bro, what's going on with his eye?
I'm so confused. That's poor editing. You know what?
No, I think they kept it in as a bit for the movie.
Good.
Because it happened too often for them not to like, for them not to say, hey, we're only going to stick with the right eye or something.
God, you'd think that the hair and makeup people would be like, which eye is lazy again? I forget. Like every day they're in the trailer and they're looking at Paul and they're like, hope this is the right one. And he's just like, I don't fucking care.
Fucking know.
he's like, I've been here for hours. Just poke me in the eye some more,
put
please.
Put it somewhere, okay? But no, it's a fantastic, like if you want a feel good movie, it's a feel good movie. And it also shows kind of like the importance again, I'm an ex teacher. It shows the importance of like teachers, even the asshole ones can have an impact on kids, but this also showed there's a reverse relationship because kids definitely also have an impact on teachers. Good or bad.
I should hope so. I was a delight.
But, but like, you can see that they form a bond throughout the course of the movie. Sometimes it's very, very low and they're screaming and hating at each other. And other times you're just like, wow, like, this is now the only real father figure that this kid kind of has. And then, yeah, Divine's character getting married, like, she is going through it and just needs somebody to talk to and actually have, like, let me express my emotion of dealing with grief right now.
And sometimes it really is just as simple as, like, finding a stranger to listen to your problems.
And that's literally what it is.
Like, having an outside perspective, they have no stake in the game. And when you find people like that, or, like, I know there are people in my life where, like, I don't keep them separate, but they are kind of separate from a lot of my other stuff. So I can go to them and be like, hey, I need your thoughts on this matter.
Yeah. Everybody needs that person that they can just talk to. Like, you know what? You're not like the party. Like, everybody has a role. I have friends that I go out with. I have friends that, like, you know, I can like hang out, do shit with, but also have friends that I know, hey, I can talk to about some real things. And then for the most part, a lot of those friends can kind of coincide into one person. Other times, I need those separate people. But yeah, I wouldn't say like this is like the best movie I saw last year. But like it's a good feel good movie. Like 100%. I definitely recommend watching it. A
lot of heart.
there's a lot of heart into it. So it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. Okay. Now let's talk about some TV shows that we've definitely watched. What was that?
It was just abrupt.
I bet you a lot of people think it's abrupt too.
It surprised me. Just gave me a little shock.
So what TV show did you watch this week?
Again, on Netflix. I watched the entirety of One Day. This show is based off a book, and then there was a movie in, like, I think it was 2011, when I was a young teenager, that had a deep impact on me. The movie, it starred Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess. Sexy, hot. The movie is a lot, and if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It has a lot of weight to it and what it means. So what One Day is basically... is this day, July 15th. It's like the day, I don't remember what the actual day name, but like basically in England, it's the day that if it rains on this day, summer's over. It's going to rain the rest of the summer, all that stuff. If it doesn't rain, then it's going to be a great summer the rest of the summer. And it's on July 15th. So there's this one day in particular that is very significant because it's the day that our main characters, Dex and Emma, both graduate from college, and they meet each other for the first time out at, like, you know, shenanigans. People are out drinking, doing all this stuff. It's the last day of college. Everyone's excited for the rest of their lives. And they're all talking about the rest of their lives and what they're going to do with their lives and their expectations for their lives and all the fun stuff that comes, like, with graduating from college. And they meet each other for the first time, and there's sexual chemistry. And he's, like, the super hot. For those of you who don't know, he's the guy who plays the really hot nephew in the second season of The White Lotus. He is
the one that fucks his uncle.
The one that we don't know if they were actually related, but
they weren't.
But he was very attractive. He plays the main character Dex, and he's just this rich, posh from London, like, smooth talking motherfucker. And she's kind of nerdy. She's very activist. She's like kind of just all over the place. I do like that they made it interracial. It did kind of make it a little more modern, but then also added a little bit of that tension over their relationship together. So they meet, it's cute, they don't even have sex. They do not have sex. It's like this whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And then they become friends. And then they stay friends throughout their life. But they always have this kind of, like, will they, won't they? And I mean, when they go through their whole lives, they go through their whole lives on this one day every year. And so it goes through, and you see boyfriends, marriages, pregnancies, children, and how these two people stay together. And it also deals with grief, the loss of a parent, addiction issues. It's such a microcosm of these two people and their relationship to each other with this one day. So I can't spoil it for anyone, but this movie does have a lot of weight to it. It's
TV show?
TV show.
How many episodes is it?
It is around like 15, like 13, 14, 15, and they're half hour episodes.
Okay,
So it's pretty easy to get, through. And I do like how they broke it up in these episodic years, because when you're watching it as a movie, you're watching the whole thing from start to finish, and it just feels like feels like one day. But when... Shut up. But when it's like when it's episodic like that, there's like a beginning, middle, end to, like, that day and what it means to them and how it is. And you see them apart, you see them together, you see what it means to them. They do flashbacks, flash forwards, all this fun stuff, just to, like, watch their relationship to each other. And it's just got a lot of heart. Honestly, I have such a, like, I don't know, soft spot for this show. I literally was like, I'm going to avoid it, because if it's just like the movie, then it's going to break my heart, and I don't know if I can handle this. And if you've seen the movie, just know it ends the same way, and it is heart-wrenching. But it...
Oh, man. Why'd you say that?
I mean, I have to warn people. Like, this does not end on the happiest of notes, but...
It's the happiest times, though, during it.
Yes, you get to see what's really interesting about it to me is like we all have those people that we think about that we're like either we've met or like one of our friends that we like kind of follow. But like for me specifically, there's like kind of these guys that like they're so in and out of my life and just so peripheral to what's going on. Sometimes I do think and I'm like kind of a what if situation. I was like, and you kind of think about that. You're like, what do these people mean to me? What significance do they hold in my life? Actually, like, as we know, significance of people in your life do change. Like,
facts.
5 years ago, you were just some guy that my best friend was dating, and now we're doing a podcast together.
So I'm up. Yeah. That's all I hear. City boys up
for now. but it just really dives into that aspect of it. And it's just so interesting. If you're just a sad girl and you like a beautiful little love story that, you know, there's ups and downs and it's rough, but there's a lot of realism to it that I find interesting.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix. It's okay. On Netflix.
What'd you rate it?
I rated a good 7. It's very funny. Good. There's a lot of heart. They hit the points. It did add to the movie a lot. It added a lot of context to the movie that I hadn't originally seen before. So it was really nice to see that for once. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of shows that stemmed from an original source material, what did you get in this week, Jordan?
Guys and girls and beautiful people that are out there. First of all, I just want to say, everybody, love everybody.
All right? Uh-huh.
I don't like to, like, hate on shows. I don't like to, you know, talk shit on things. So, preface, this show is a solid, I would say it's a solid 6.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
It's a fine show. It's a fine show. I regret watching it, and I understand why people can like it.
What show is this, Jordan?
Guys, if you can't tell from my hat, for you listeners, I'm wearing an Appa hat. This is my favorite cartoon show. And it got a live action.
Again.
And I saw the trailers for this show, and I was super excited. It looked great. It looked amazing. And it was beautiful. And I'm talking about Avatar, the Last Motherfucking Airbender.
Ooh, I have also watched. We're actually at the same spot right now. So I have my thoughts and feelings, but I want to hear what you have to say.
All right. So first, I want to get all the positive out. I think it's a beautiful show.
It was very well done. It is obvious where they put the budget.
Yeah, they put all the budget in the aesthetics. The bending is great.
The bending looks so
way better than it.
Good. And like for me, way better than it. For me, it was like the water bending just looks so different to me. Because and the earth all looked so much better. But yes,
but also the cities looked amazing.
The landscapes.
The landscape, the air temples, I thought looked a great, amazing, beautiful. I think the casting is perfect.
Yeah.
Like everybody besides, I think, Lee and May.
Which we haven't even got into them yet. And I mean, for me, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, we don't even know about them yet.
No.
Like in the cartoon, like we didn't even know about them.
Hold on. Okay. So I thought all that is great, beautiful, amazing.
I did want to say one thing that was really nice. Sokka.
Sokka's same kind of humor.
I feel like they actually got him this time with Jackson Rathbone last time. It was just like a dead fish walking, and they actually got some of Sokka's essence. I think they got some of the character essence in a lot of them. I think Sokka from the last live action was the most like needed the most improvement, but they do retain their like qualities.
I think Iroh.
Yeah.
I think he plays a great Iroh.
Well, I really like that they made him the narrator, basically.
Yeah.
Enjoyed
that.
Yeah.
I actually think that they gave Ozai an actual little bit of breath instead of like, I am just a bat. I mean, I mean, he's a good looking guy.
He's so hot. Okay. And when he,
the second he takes his shirt and
yeah,
like,
scream at your son, yes. Burn your son's eye, and I will watch.
Also, I thought it was interesting him, of like giving Ozai a little bit more breath of instead of like, I am just this evil overlord fire yeah. lord. And it's just like, no, I want you to be better, Zuko. But also, no, I am evil, though.
Yeah.
But gave him some breath. But.
But that also does go into one of my criticisms of the show.
Guys, when I tell you, here's the thing about adaptations. I believe that for most adaptations, if it's really well done and good, you just stick to it. Okay? Maybe add a little here and there to it.
Update a few things. Exactly. Make a couple changes here and there. But
you can't change huge plot lines from the original. Like, again, hence Game of Thrones. At the end, once we got rid of the source material and started going on a tangent, that's when you can tell the quality of writing has gone down. Things. That's when you know that this is not the same show. And, okay, let's just go. All right, it's, again, fine show. Fine show.
Tell
okay?
me. Tell me. Give it to me.
Spoiler alerts. I'm not through the end, though. So
yeah, we're both on episode 6 right now. We have 2 more episodes
7
to go. 7?
Yeah.
We're on episode 7.
Yeah, I'm on episode 7. I just watched 6.
Yes.
Okay. So I haven't finished it, so maybe the end is fine, but I spent an hour talking to my friend, and it's not. So anyway, first, I thought, I actually was like, okay, you kind of get to see the whole Air Temple kind of get massacred. Fight scene was great. I think the choreography is amazing, actually, in the show.
I did find it interesting that they spoon fed that story to us. Like it was, and I can't tell if it was a good. I can't tell if it was a good decision or not because I already had that backstory. But in the original, it took a little longer to get that story. You kind of had to be drawn into it. Here, they
and
were just
as a kid, I understood it. Mm-hmm. I got it. And so if I can get it from a kid's show, then I should definitely be able to get it from this. And all right, like if I had to go bullet point, my number one problem, I think, is Aang. I think the casting's fine. I think he's doing great as an actor. But I think the problem that they're doing right now is that every single second he's on screen, it's always talking about, I am responsible. I have this responsibility on my shoulders. Oh my God, I'm the Avatar. And we're just, I wish I had a TV right now and I would show you clip after clip after clip.
I agree. And I do think that in the original source material, he does bring it up ad nauseum. However, there's moments of brevity between those. Like,
And that was the beauty of it.
It's like, there would be those, like, we call it, like, the one-off adventure episodes, like, the thing, like, when they would go through the chasm or the cliff or whatever, and there was those monsters. I'm glad this was not in the live action, but you got stuff like that.
You got, like, for instance, when they go to Kyoshi Island,
mm-hmm.
Hey, I see a giant koi fish. You got to see Aang, Katara, and Sokka be kids. Sokka would kind of complain a little bit, and then they would be kids. Later in the show, you would see Katara try to be that mom figure, mm-hmm. while Aang is still a kid. He's 12. And at not one moment, I've watched them like do interviews, mm-hmm. like as a cast. They're funny.
Yeah.
They have things together. They're like, oh, we made Aang's character, like our actor, laugh because we're all saying slay and slay and slay during this stuff. And it's just like you can tell that they're like younger Gen Z people.
They're having a good time.
And they're having a good time. I never got that feeling at all in the entire show.
No. And so here's my biggest critique is like it was so – the whole thing was so rushed. And I don't mind things being rushed, but I don't mind pushing the story along because like there were times where the kids show obviously did meander here and there. We were children, but like the mishmashing of storylines together
for no reason.
And at least no explainable reason other than like they didn't even and who's giving who information?
Why is Bumi evil?
I don't like, and I, that's the thing is like, you just don't really, I feel like we're a lot of what made the heart of that show, the heart of that show was the fact that like, you kind of got to slowly fall in love with these characters, and here they're just pushing it. And I feel this most.
I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. Well, I feel have a responsibility.
I actually feel it most intensely with Zuko's character, because if you remember in the original, like, he was we didn't really know about Fire, like, we knew about Fire Lord Ozai, but we didn't see him, we didn't smell him, we didn't touch him until like season two, really. There might have been a couple like cut scenes here or there showing him, but it didn't give him that much. With Zuko, I feel like we are rushing his redemption arc. Like, he doesn't become a good guy until fucking season three, guys. Like, season two is him dealing with it, but I feel like we're just like trying to, like, it just feels like we're trying to run through it as fast as we can. We're like, we need to get to the part where he's a good guy.
Yeah, like, his redemption arc didn't really start until
season two.
No, like, he saved Aang. That's when you can tell when that.
But that's when you started to see
it a little bit. But he still kind of went evil at the finale, but still had some good. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that there was a good. But we didn't need all the backstory of Zuko yet.
No.
I don't think we needed all that. And again, like you said, it was rushed. I think changing that. Oh, the general said something instead of his father, and then he had to fight his father. His father's like, oh, this is a punishment. No, his father is the fucking dick.
Yeah.
He just needs to be a dick.
I did like how they kind of changed up that story a little, because it did give it a little more heart.
It gave Ozai a little bit more heart. Not Zuko, though.
I think it gave Zuko more heart because he was the one fighting for that. Like, that wasn't in the original story. Like, he was like, no, you shouldn't kill these people. But I don't think that it like went as far as to be like, and these are the people on the ship with you now. Like, I thought
it did. It did not do that. I think that is true.
I think that like, and I think that that did give him heart, and that did, and like, seeing him like connect with his crew. This is what I mean by like, it rushed too fast, because like, it showed him actually connecting with his crew and doing all the stuff.
But that
and, like,
is an episode. That is an episode where
I know it's an episode, but they weren't like bowing to him and screaming, "My prince!"
Where his uncle? Like, his uncle's at the fire and telling that entire story.
Yeah, and they have a modicum of respect for him for the first time, but it's not "My prince, my prince."
Yeah, no, I agree. I do like that kind of edit. I don't like how they introduce Azula.
No,
there's just no point of her actually being in. Like, you can kind of see where she's just trying to be this little
shady,
shady, conniving little thing. No, Azula's crazy, and Azula is about that life. Like, she's,
we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet. But you're changing her entire personality. Mm. Like, I need to know that. Oh, Azula is a straight, absolute murderer, killing, heartless bitch, and I don't get that vibe.
She kind of, I mean, you can tell. I'm like tongue tied talking about this, because it almost feels like she's just like, they're portraying her as like the annoying kid sister
who's jealous of her brother.
Yeah,
she's not jealous.
And
of
I don't,
Zuko.
And like, I don't remember. Like, it's just like, I'm just like, these significant parts to the story, and I think, and here's why I think people are actually upset, is because what you changed in the front changes so much in the back, and it makes people very scared and very anxious, and you're already not doing the story service. But I do want to say, can we not complain so, like, obviously point out some stuff to help them in season two, but don't complain so much that it gets canceled, because I do want a second season.
I do want a second season. Again, that's why I didn't rate it like a 3 or 2 or anything like that. But I think the number one character that has taken a back seat is Katara.
Oh, for sure.
Katara has like no, and again, I don't think it's the actress at all. I do not think it's the actress.
No, I think she does.
I really think it's the writing. They kind of have written her off as like almost like a side character.
Well, and that's the thing is like, they, and when I say they mishmash stories, like when they go through the secret tunnels, and
the secret tunnel. The whole purpose of the secret tunnel is
lovers.
For Aang and Katara to find that the first time they find like they like each other, mm-hmm. or they have some kind of connection. There is not one part of this entire show, and I've heard from other people, that at the end, there's still no show at all that They are connected. So you limit Katara.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make her like, she's not going through any kind of training montage through the entire time that they're working out.
No, and like Aang, that's the thing, is like,
doesn't touch waterbending. The entire show, he doesn't waterbend.
Huh.
What the fuck is the whole point?
Even in the last two episodes?
Doesn't waterbend. What are we doing?
Book one water? Like
book one water, and the Avatar. So like you're telling me the entire time the Avatar is the master of the four elements.
Let me know if you know this. Does this show end on a cliffhanger?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, it has to go to book two. But here's also the problem. So the show needs purpose. The show needs, what are we doing actually? And the entire time is Aang gets unfrozen, right? And Aang's like, oh, well, the last thing my master told me, Yatsu told me, was I need to go master the elements.
I'm just going to go to the
Northern Tribe. That's not the driving force.
And that's the thing, is like that is supposed to be the driving force of this whole show, is that he needs to go learn the other elements. That is
that's actually not. That's a secondary thing. The whole purpose is he finds a connection with Roku. He finds, like, when he goes to the spirit world, he talks to Roku, and Roku's like, find me on my island so we can finally talk.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the island, and on the island, Roku tells him, hey, man, Sozin's Comet's coming. And because of Sozin's Comet, the Fire Lord is going to have the ultimate power, and it's going to destroy the world and conquer the world. Aang, you have to defeat the Fire Lord.
Yes.
To do this, you must master the four elements.
Yes.
That is the driving force through the entire time. The entire time, it's like Aang has responsibilities. Aang's going to have to make difficult choices. What does he have to do? Because when he goes to Roku's island, they don't talk about that. There's not one mention of Sozin's comet until the very end. There's no mention of it.
No.
How does he know that the Fire Nation is going to take over and try to blow up the entire world?
Well, and it kind of is. They have kind of changed that mechanism of the show, because it's more of like a, he's just like, I have to learn the four elements to stop this injustice. There's not, the stakes don't feel there.
No, but they keep hammering it to you every single episode that Aang has responsibilities and he's going to make tough decisions. That's the spoon feeding. And like I've talked to my wife, who has not seen the original, and she's like, yeah, this is a fine show. This is like a good show. I like it. But she also says, yeah, I am kind of tired of them keep telling me that Aang is important. We get that Aang is important.
He's the chosen one.
He's the chosen one. The master. He's supposed to master four elements, but doesn't touch another element the entire ship. That just doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, and what's interesting is I did see on Reddit, TikTok, somewhere I saw that, you know, the original creators ended up leaving the show.
Yeah.
But I heard that, this is all alleged, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that they wanted to change more, and that's why Netflix told them to get out. They actually wanted to completely redo a bunch of parts because, and they've said this in interviews, they don't like doing the same thing twice. They want to change it up. They want to switch it up. And apparently it got to the point, like, creatively, that Netflix is like, if you do this, they will not want to watch this show. Like, so we're kind of and if this is true, we're kind of seeing like Netflix trying to do right by the fans, and that's a wild thought to me. I do think that it's interesting to like think, it's like you brought the original creators on, and then the original creators wanted to change it. That is so interesting. But like, also, when you're adapting an original source material, if it does not elevate the story, like I said,
there we go.
If it does not elevate the story, elevate. when we got to see Zuko connecting with his crew and actually getting to like be a part of that,
elevate.
And like it elevated it. There were aspects of Aang and Gyatso's relationship that I thought were elevated.
That and that relationship, I actually love. Great.
The people who complain about who he's talking to in the spirit world, they're like, well, he doesn't talk to the spirit world in the third episode, he talks to this person in the spirit world in the fourth episode, and in this episode, girl, get a life.
But also, but they are changing lore. That is true. Because why is Sokka and Katara in the spirit world?
That was weird. I didn't understand that.
There was no need for them to be... I mean,
the need was to raise the stakes because they changed the other aspects of the story.
Yes.
So going and seeing Ko, the face stealer, Aang didn't even know he was a face stealer until he left. And that's the part that fucked me up because, like...
That's the whole point. He's supposed to be emotionless. But also... Aang just travels from an entire island by himself. Bro, Aang can't fly overseas like that. Like, without Appa. Also, another big thing. Appa, again, I'm going to try to not spoil, like, future seasons. But Appa is a pivotal character. Like, Appa's not just the... Yeah. Like, in this show, it feels like he's just a taxi. Like, he's just a transportation. But Appa is Aang's best friend and only connection left in the world that connects him back to the air temples.
And his time there. Appa, people forget that Appa is also from that time. And there are no more Sky Bison. So, like, it is literally just a... Like, Appa is his only connection to that time period when he was a child.
And Appa gets... Just, and that's his entire screen time. Like, and in the second season, what happens to Appa is literally the driving force of the entire first half. Actually, not even the first half. First two-thirds of the show.
Yeah.
He is the literal driving force. And...
We just don't see him.
You don't see him. So why as a viewer, why do I care about Appa?
I would love to know what the writers and directors and all that would think. Like, I wish I was in the room with them while they're making these silly decisions, because it's like it feels like we're consistently seeing movies and TV shows that are obviously just churned out for money. And the thing is like, this was the one thing, Avatar The Last Airbender, we've already seen that. We've already, and I will say, you did not have much, you did not have far to go to make this a quote-unquote success. But we didn't learn from the first one, for the first remake. Like, that's my thing. We knew.
You just got better effects. They changed some things, they elevated some things, and things are good.
It's Aang again, it's not Aang and Sokka.
It's better. It's 100% better than that, because that's dog shit.
That's the thing. Like, it feels like they were like, oh, well, we can do anything and it'll be better than that.
I mean, facts, though.
I mean, facts, it was better. It was worlds above better, but there's still, like, issues with it. You know, one thing that, speaking of Appa and everything on that, one thing I was sitting there, I was seeing them fly over whatever, or, like, trying to get away, and I was like, they are lucky that the air nomads were pacifists.
Yeah.
Because imagine a team of sky bisons and a few bombs.
Yeah. No, 100%. And so again, guys, I enjoy it. It's all right for me. If you have not watched the show, I think it's an enjoyable show.
It's going to be fun. It's just a good standard Netflix show.
Yeah.
It follows their formula.
They got to fix some things for season two.
Yeah.
They really, really got to, because like right now they're setting, like you just said, what the changes that they make now in season one is going to take effect in season two and three.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, you can't take out Aang's love for Katara. You can't.
Because it's a driving force in his spiritual journey as the Avatar.
Yes,
like, that's the thing, is like, it Jesus means it
Christ,
means
it's so important.
Everything means so much. And that, but that's, and I'm now looking back, I kind of think that's why we're so obsessed with that show, is because it took a really interesting premise, a really interesting world, and it just kept building on it, and then building
and
on that
beautiful
story, and it took its time to build on it, and it was silly, and it was funny, and it was heartbreaking.
But we understood, like, we're like, you're talking about war as a kid, kids going through war times and the trauma that they have to endure, going through famine, going through dad issues, going through death in a family. Like, these are very, like, not being wanted.
And not, like, and not just, like, picking up your life, but picking up the fucking gun and fighting. Like, is it, like, my parents died, my parents dropped out. Like, it's like, you have, they, these children had to pick it up, and it was very traumatizing for them. And you got to see that aspect of it slowly, the way it was meant to be, and it building and, on and each other.
Here's the crazy thing. That the Netflix series has more screen time than the cartoon.
Interesting. Well, that means that more new people are watching it.
No, no, no. Like, minutes wise.
Oh.
There's, like, I think, like, a few more minutes.
Well, yeah.
So why are we not doing, like, damn near...
I mean, there...
Why are we changing shit?
I mean, what? We have, like, 8-hour-long episodes instead of 24... I mean, 20-minute episodes. Yeah. You know, it's around the same amount of, like, all of that. But that's the thing. You had the time to do it. You had the time to take care of it.
Just do it better.
But it just felt like...
Rushed.
Rushed in the fact that, like, it felt like an essay turned in overnight.
Yeah. Hey, Netflix, we like your shows. All these shows that we watched besides Holdovers are all Netflix. I need you to do better for the second season. Again, it's not bad. Do better.
But there's room for improvement.
Do better. All right. And last but not least, we're going to give you an update on Love is Blind.
Because, God, it just keeps getting messier and awful, and we love to see it.
Yes. So let's start with AD and Clay. So last time we left off, they were good. They were actually kind of in a good place.
Yeah, they were kind of cute. They were nice, and then that changed.
So, the only problem is, Clay...
He wants to cheat on her so bad.
He just cannot get cheating out of his mind.
He's like, he's just, like, he...
What are we doing?
And here's the thing, AD knows it, because you can see the look of horror in her eyes when he's saying it, because he just says those player-ass things where he's like, you know, men be men, blah, 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 blah. Like, and he...
My dad was a cheater.
My dad was a cheater, blah, 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 this stuff.
And then he says the relationships to look up to is Will Smith and Diddy, and I'm just like...
Girl, Diddy just got slapped with a heavy lawsuit. I was listening on the way here. I was like, damn. But also, it's like, Diddy with hookers? And shooting people, crazy, groundbreaking. Yeah, don't know what you expected.
Dude, so, like, Clay is literally just, like...
No.
But then also, like, the part I kind of actually wanted to kind of discuss is...
At the table? With Mom?
Yeah, with Mom. And so, like, I understand. I think this... And this is where I give Clay grace, okay? I give him some grace, okay? You gotta understand, this man is an entrepreneur.
Which is a French word for unemployed. He does jobs.
Like, we don't know his life. He actually could make, like, good money and stuff like that. And now he's like, hey, I'm going to spend the night at this other crib so I can get to this job or client at an earlier time and stuff like that. And I do understand when you spent 10 days with each other on in the pods, then you spend like a week in the DR, and then you come home. I've only really spent, you know, 17 days with this girl, and now I'm like actually trying to like go back to my life. You start to revert back to some of your old things, like obviously. Habits of like, hey, like a lot of the, and like not just Clay, a lot of these men think of it as like, all right, I have a girlfriend now, and they're going about their life like they have a girlfriend, but, and they don't understand that this is your fiance and forever, and you're about to marry this person.
And there's like things in their contracts where it's like, if you get proposed to, or like there's like certain aspects, it's like you have to go to the altar. You don't have to say yes at the altar, but eventually you have to go to the altar and then say yes or no.
Yeah.
Like it's not gonna, like it's not, like very rarely do you get to just like cop out in the middle of this part of it. Their contracts are very written. I'm not sure how.
They cop out a lot of times.
But yes, but there are certain aspects of it. My thing with Clay. I just don't like
He's just your typical fuckboy.
He's a typical fuckboy, but if any man spoke to me the way he did in front of his mother, I would have slapped him across that fucking table. And then he sits there and he, like, I had such an issue with the way he just turned into a little mama's boy so quick.
He did.
And he's like, and he basically, like, it felt like, it kind of felt like he was, like, trying to get his mom to gang up on AD.
No, that's exactly what's happening.
And like, I was just in there and I was like, and you're defending this man? No, fuck
him. And his mom was just like, hey, love will prevail. Just make sure you guys love each other and make time for each other. And that's the thing. And like, again, I kind of understand where Clay's coming from.
This thing who got cheated on for 23
not,
years.
No, not that part. No, not that part. I get where he's in the mindset of like, I'm doing work and he thinks he's had his girlfriend and he needs to understand that you have a fiance. And no, if you have 2 hours, you give those 2 hours to your wife.
Yeah.
You give... like, it's not just a you anymore. It's a us. It's a we. And he's not thinking about the we yet. But I get it from, like, a real, like, psychological standpoint of, like, I've only been with you for less than a month. And, like, when I go back to the real world, I feel normal.
I don't know why he signed up for this fucking show.
Oh, no. Dude, when you ask, how do you look? That defeats the whole purpose.
I just don't understand what he's doing. Like, he asking about looks, telling people he could never even think about marrying them unless he knows exactly that they're, like, hot. And then we go home, and he's like, you always in my grill, blah, blah, bullshit. Mom. That's what it sounded like to me.
I'm thinking about cheating. Hey, I just want to let you know. I'm not doing it, but I'm thinking
about
it.
I'm not doing it, but I might.
It's in my DNA. And then cheating is in my DNA.
So here's the thing that pissed me off about that conversation was he said, I'm a cheat. Hey, by the way, I'm going to go stay in this other place an hour away from you because it's easier for me. But all she's heard for the past hour is I'm a cheat. So I really don't hold any, like, grace for him at all because he's such a fucking dick and an idiot. Like, he pisses me off. And it's primarily because I've dated men like him. Like, that's 100%.
I'm projecting. I think that's your trauma. Like, for me personally,
I'm projecting a little bit.
You 100% are.
But, 100% are. And I recognize that. But that doesn't mean he's not doing everything that I'm saying.
Oh, no. Yeah. He is not emotionally there yet. Like, mature. He's just not ready for marriage.
No, he's not even ready for, like, a girlfriend who lives in the same city as him.
I think he's ready for a girlfriend. I don't think he's ready for marriage. But let's move on to my favorite couple, actually. Definitely Kenneth and Brittany.
That's your favorite couple,
That's
huh?
my favorite couple because it's the funniest couple I've ever seen in my life.
I don't understand. It's actually gotten a lot of, like, traction. Like, I've been hearing gay rumors about him that, like, his cousin posted on Facebook that he was gay.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and then they went back and they checked on her, and they know it's his cousin because, like, in 2020 she, like, posted some post that was like, so proud of you, cousin, blah blah blah, whatever. So it is his cousin, and she went, he's gay. He just did it for the show.
I mean. I get the vibes.
I kind of get it. Like, I was like, that makes sense. But he's secretly gay because, I mean, they kept talking about God. But there's a term called gay for Jesus. And it's like, you are so into your religion. You're so into everything. You don't date women. You don't date men because you're a good man of God. And it's all about God and Jesus and all this stuff. So I wonder if that might play a little role into it. Only because he is so adamant about God brought us together and God did this for us. And it wouldn't be another than a God. God's in that damn phone.
God's in the phone. Like, my perspective about this relationship is... Kenneth, he's exactly like Clay. He got back to the real world.
Yeah.
And instead of treating Brittany like you are my wife, like you're about to be my wife, he treated her like a girlfriend. And he treated her like a girl I'm talking to or something.
Do you treat your girlfriends poorly?
A lot of guys do.
Oh. See, maybe that's the disconnect.
A lot of guys
like,
do.
You're like, oh, they, because you're like, they treat them like a girlfriend. I'm like, they're treating them like shit.
Okay, I wouldn't say Kenneth treated Brittany like shit.
She was weeping in the kitchen.
Okay, well that situation's way different.
She was weeping in the kitchen, and he just walked away and barely gave her a second glance.
He gave her a
hug. And he ignored her.
Gave
her a hug because he didn't want to look like a bad guy, and he said that.
No facts, though.
Like,
no, like when I'm telling you, that situation emotionally, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, you see your girl cry, like, maybe not even your girl, but you see a human crying. And as much as you love Jesus, and especially as a principal, you should be there to comfort that person, or at least give some kind of wave, instead of be like, literally, he said, I'm done, and just, like, on the phone, like, instantly on the phone.
And did not look up while he was walking up those stairs on his phone. And, like, I don't really know why. I saw a bunch of stuff that, like, he really wasn't on his phone that much. It wasn't even about that. I was like, okay, then why was he on it all the time? Like,
yeah.
What you doing on that phone,
mister? But again,
Grindr, Scruff, Growler, Sniffies. What are you doing, Kenneth?
But again, Kenneth, and this is where I, again, see the same thing in Clay. Kenneth came back home, and it's like, I am going to live my normal life without her. Like, and he went to see his mentor and stuff like that. He does all this other stuff, goes out. He doesn't include Brittany in any of these kind of things.
No.
And so that is the problem. And Brittany, all she just wanted was, hey, I just want some reinsurance that you still love me, that you care about me, that this is forever. And I just want more time, and I just want to be a part of your life. And Kenneth did not give her the time of day of any of that kind of shit. Like, oh, hey, I tried to do, like, some kind of affection at 1 a.m. when you got to wake up at 5 a.m.
Oh, my God. Bro, chill out. See, this is the thing. But this is the thing that was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a believer in people or whatever. But, like, this just seems like they're just like, they act like they've never dated a girl before or never dated.
I bet you they haven't.
Like, it's so weird.
Are they in a real serious relationship?
It's so weird to me because they just go into this these two specifically, they go into like this weird.
Are you hitting on black people?
Shell clam on? No, because I will.
During Black History Month?
Trust me, I have other words for Jimmy and Jeremy, but it does not pertain to this. They were a little too active. They just like don't want to participate.
Yes.
And you seem okay with that.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
No.
You were like, I get it. And like, that seems like dismissive.
No. I'm just saying from a standpoint of a person that like, hey, I have known you for 17 days.
Yeah.
And then I go back to my original environment. I'm not going to cheat or I'm not going to, except for Clay, who can't keep it out of his fucking head.
Well, and
but
somebody else.
But I'm here. I understand why you would go to your original like ways of like just this is how I'm normally doing my life. I live by myself, and like you don't think to include like the first time I started to date my wife. It was never like me thinking, oh, I need to change my schedule for this and this. It was more like, how does she fit in my schedule? But now, as a married man, as a man who, when we started to live together, when we started to be really, really serious, be fiance and then married, it was, how does everything else fit in our schedule? That's what it is. And so they're still thinking about like they're not in the we're getting married in a few days stage.
Girl, this is why there's the loneliness epidemic amongst straight men, because y'all are animals. You sit there and you're like, the only way I just think about this person is how they fit into my schedule. And like, I don't think about somebody I'm dating that way. Like, I want to do stuff with them. I want to have fun with them. And I do work them into my life because I do want them to be an additionally extra part of your life. But
you're not like that in the first 17 days of being together. You're not like that in the first month.
You do when you go on a fucking reality show down to wherever they went. That's the thing is like, that's the thing that like, I don't have like a patience for is because you in the reality of it all, you didn't prepare for that. You didn't mentally, like, that's the thing is like, these men did not have one internal monologue of, oh, I might have a wife out of this. Like, it feels like they were trying to win some kind of game and then forgot they were playing.
Yeah, no. And that's why all of them said, I didn't think like I'll find a wife or anything like that. And so I'm not saying what they've done is right, because no, Clay, fucking get over it. Kenneth, no, you're an asshole. Brittany is fucking like Brittany. Like I believe in God. I'm not that super religious. Brittany's a gem. Brittany is a fucking gem, yes, Kenneth. She had that, like, hey, I am ready to raise black children verse down pat. She had it memorized. Like, and she is ready to be with you.
Also, the fact that AD was like, how does she feel about raising black kids? And he's like, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, motherfucker, what?
I really think that, like, ever since that comment turned him completely off of her.
Yeah. I agree.
And he only wants to fuck dolphins.
But I, like, that's it. I mean, I do think.
You do want to fuck dolphins?
No. Whoa. I said I do think.
That blowhole.
I think that he just doesn't really. I just don't think he really wanted to be there.
No. After when they got back home, I think he was just like, I'm cool.
Yeah. Like, he was like, that was fun.
But you know what? Who's not having fun? Johnny and Amy. Like. Their relationship, again, they're super happy, they're cute and everything like that.
I think that they're going to be the only ones that make it, to be honest.
Oh, facts. But Johnny, the thing is about Johnny, bro, he just refuses to wear a condom.
He's so...
He just refuses to wear a condom.
Well, and he's so weird about it, but they treat contraception like it's quantum physics. Like, I don't understand why it's... like, it's really not that hard to not get pregnant, and he's so scared. But also, he's like, we see a little bit more of him, and he's like, I want to retire by 50, and I want to grind and hustle for the next 25 years with you until we can retire at 50. And she's like, okay, but we're going to have fun along the way, too. And he's like, maybe, but you need to get on birth control. And, like... But he does not say it like that, but, like...
But it comes off... It kind of comes off like that,
and it's so weird. Also, like... Girl, just I don't. There
no,
are,
don't
there,
like. I thing don't, is, if Amy doesn't want to get on birth control, don't get on birth control.
No,
it's gonna mess with your hormones and everything like that. Johnny, wear a fucking condom. It's not hard.
Or pull out. Both, preferably both. If you're that scared,
if you're that scared to have a kid,
pull out and use a condom. It is not this difficult.
It's not that difficult.
Or would somebody say it's not that hard? Get it? Because condoms.
Okay, so, like, the annoying couple that I actually really don't like is Chelsea and Jimmy.
I kind of agree, kind of not. I am secretly rooting for them because I do want, like, I'm an optimist, and I want to see people find love, and I really do think that she loves him. I think he doesn't even know what to think because she's too busy being like, do you love me? And he's just like, bitch, I don't know now. He's like, I did.
But okay,
you keep asking.
So I think Chelsea needs a lot of reinsurance. She's very emotional.
This girl has obviously been hurt in her life.
Multiple times.
I
mean, she got divorced.
She's been divorced. There we go.
But when your girlfriends come over and the first thing you start talking about is Trevor, what are we doing?
Girl.
You don't want Jimmy. And it's so clear that Jimmy is, he's a fine guy. He's a good guy. Like, he's all right. Whatever.
And by fine, but, like, he means fine, not fine. Fine.
Like, he's a okay guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's impressive about Jimmy. But when Jimmy was like, you're clingy.
First of all,
I'm not going to lie.
When he said that, my face did the same thing hers did.
Dropped.
Well, it made the same face hers did, because you should never say that to your partner ever. Because even if it's true, even if they are acting a little clingy, find ways to reassure them outside of this. This is where the open honesty comes in, that like, I feel like we've gotten to a place where like, you don't need to say everything.
See, and like, I think it's okay to call somebody clingy when you're like in the talking phase.
Yeah.
Like we're just getting to know each other, but you don't call, I would never call my wife clingy. Never would call her clingy ever. Cause sometimes I'm clingy. Sometimes she's clingy. And it's okay.
I don't know. I've been told I'm clingy. I've been told I'm distant. I've been told I give mixed messages.
Believe it.
Believe all of it. I am a Gemini, so I guess that kind of does make sense. But
whole relationship is just bullshit to me. It's just like, I feel like Chelsea really wants a husband,
and she wants a hot husband, and she thinks he is hot, and I think that he was the prize of Love Is Blind.
Yeah.
Like he was the guy that all the girls wanted, and I think she just really wanted that validation. But that's the thing, is when you're constantly seeking outward validation, you're never full.
No,
you'll never be, and he can't fill that.
I also think Jimmy's just complacent. He's just like, yeah, I'm cool with this, and like he also, I don't think he does give like again. I think Chelsea is really asking for a lot, but I don't think Jimmy's really giving that much.
No,
I get from both sides,
but that's the thing. He is doing the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
And like that's,
he's a bare minimum guy.
And I mean that's the thing. Maybe this is
just a big dick.
This is good for him. Maybe that's why I like him. No, I don't actually like him.
He's a thumb.
No, I do not actually like him. Just to be clear, but I do. I like Chelsea because I relate to her because I'm insecure about a lot of things. But also, girl, you don't say that. Like you just
Just stop talking.
Do what?
Do they make it?
Like I said, I'm hoping, but I'm not hopeful.
Honest opinion, I think Clay and AD, they get to the altar and they say no, yeah, but they want to continue to date. Yeah. I think Chelsea and Jimmy, it's a no. And I think with Johnny and Amy, it's a yes.
Yes.
But this last couple...
Girl, I don't even know if they're going to make it to net.
And the preview did not even see them get to the altar at all.
No. Well, you really only saw two couples go to the altar in that preview.
Yeah, you saw Chelsea in a dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last couple we're talking about is the funniest couple by far.
This man is so stupid. I can't believe it.
So we were talking about Laura and Jeremy. Laura and Jeremy at the first.
Mother of God.
All right, let's talk about Laura first. Laura can't get past the Hawaiian shirts. She can't get past the Hawaiian shirts at all.
You know,
she keeps talking about it. She keeps bringing it up.
She's a woman who knows what she wants, but she does go on to say, in the grand scheme of things, like, yeah, the Hawaiian shirts annoy the piss fuck out of me. It's her pet peeve. But in the grand scheme of things, she does say that doesn't really matter, and that's why I picked him.
Yeah. Then why are you keep bringing it up nonstop? And then also, I'm not going to lie.
Because he does stuff to annoy. He negs her.
No, he does. He does.
He negs the fuck out of her, and that pisses me off.
But why the fuck are you bringing up what a girl DM'd me to my parents? To your parents the first time I meet them?
Because obviously she felt some kind of way about it.
That's fucked. Like, that's fucked. Like, if you know, if I showed you the
why'd
message.
Why'd all he do is hard it?
Hold on.
Oh, we're separating it? We're separating it?
When I get the text, I hearted it, and then I show you and everything. We should be all good and
no,
stuff like
you
that.
Should have blocked her.
I understand. I understand from just, if I just double tap and say, cool, I get it. It's not that bad. Be honest. It's not that bad.
It is based off what happened.
Okay. Hold on. We're not there yet.
No, we have to look at these things as a whole.
Okay, but you don't know that yet. That hasn't happened yet.
I don't know that yet, but we know what it means.
She doesn't know. None of the, okay.
She knows what it means.
We're talking about in that moment. This is the first time I meet your parents, and you bring up that a girl DM'd me. Why are you bringing that up to your parents?
Why are you entertaining her?
Oh my God. A double tap is entertaining?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Because you could have just left her on red, and you didn't.
Cool. But
you didn't.
If I'm being a nice guy.
You're not a nice guy, and he's not a nice guy, and we both know it.
Oh,
we,
I would double tap. I'll double tap.
I wouldn't say you're a nice guy.
I would double tap. But Jeremy is an idiot, okay? I'm not trying to defend Jeremy at all. Jeremy is an idiot. I think the double tap is not that bad. I think that's okay. But Jeremy is a fucking idiot. Again, this is the update, so you should know what happens. This motherfucker, Jeremy, goes out at night till 5 in the fucking morning. Who the fuck goes out at 5 in the fucking morning?
Here's the thing. When you have a fiance, a wife, a live-in girlfriend,
and you don't tell them?
You do not. I need you to understand. But that's my mom. No, they are worried about you. They need
five
to know.
5 in the morning.
They need to know you're alive. If you are out until, and I've done it, I've been out till 6 a.m. when I am single and don't have anybody, I'm grown, living by myself, I would stay out till 5 in the morning every now and then.
Bro.
Girl, when you have a fucking fiance at home, you gotta at least hit her up unless you're doing some sneaky shit.
And so, hey, Sarah Ann is at the party. And I understand from the, hey, I'm not gonna leave the party, like if this girl's here, you know. I get that.
I think this is all a lie.
You're not wrong. You actually are not wrong.
Oh, we just, I just so happened to meet up somehow because somebody said we were changing plans. And so we changed plans. And then all of a sudden, Sarah Ann showed up. And you're just sitting there and you're like, and he's got his sunglasses on the whole time. And you're just like, this motherfucker is so full of shit, but she knows he's full of shit, and
she
knows it.
Laura's a control. She's a control.
But that's why the heart matters. That's why it does, is because she knows what that means for him. Maybe not for you. Maybe not for Tom, Dick, and Harry. But we know what it means for him because he's an asshole. The mom even says, "You all talk to each other like you hate each other."
Yeah, and so he, dumbest excuse I ever. He's like, "Hey, I didn't have to tell you anything because I gave you my location." And then you're like, hey,
he walked.
I'm going to go out. And then me and Sarah Ann, this chick that wanted your dick and you wanted her, but chose the other girl. You chose Laura. We're going to go to a random parking lot and just talk. That's not even a good story.
Here's the thing. If you tell your, even if that was true and you told your fiance, I sat in a parked car with another woman that I dated for 3 hours, I would see red. Like, motherfucker.
If I told my wife I was in the car with my ex for hours. Oh no. Like
that, even if you're just talking,
she's leaving or I can't get on my house. She'll kill me.
Even if you are just talking, there is a line you are crossing. And if you don't actually tell them, like he didn't, because he didn't text her, he didn't call her, I shared my location, he went out of his way to do to try to trick her.
And that's where, hey, you know what? Hey, first of all, can we get some snaps to Laura?
Girl.
Snaps to Laura. Laura,
she's a smart woman.
Last episode, I called you a blonde. I called you, you're just a blonde, and that's it. Laura, you a boss bitch. After what you just said, hey, don't give me your fucking location if you don't think we're going to use it. And this motherfucker, this location tracks this motherfucker way past where they're not supposed to be, way up an hour north.
And there's like a, like in the thing, you could see it where I think when he knows he's caught, because you see him, he's like, oh, and he like picks up his phone. He's like, oh, because he knows that it wasn't updated and he knows where it updated because he saw it. And
updated,
he was like,
updated at fucking Sarah Ann's fucking place. And nigga, if you up there at 5 a.m. at a bitch's place, We ain't talking. You probably fucked at like 2 or 3 o'clock, went to sleep, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta wake up and I gotta get back home.
I gotta go get my car because he left it at Lost and Found with his phone in it. Because what? And this is all alleged. I don't know if this is actually facts or not, but the rumor is that he dropped his car off, left his phone in his car, forgot to take his Apple Watch off, and that's the detection.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing. And so,
City Boys, Joe just put you on game.
Girl, just don't be dumb. I mean, have you, like, watched How to Get Away with Murder? It's the same principle as
cheating. It really is.
Like, if you really want to cheat that bad, it is not that hard to not get caught. Horrible advice.
City boys from Joe.
To be clear, I have never cheated on anyone.
City boys from Joe. But yeah, like overall, it's entertaining. This season's entertaining.
This is a good season.
It's entertaining.
Well, and then there's all this outside stuff because apparently Trevor had a girlfriend. They think Jimmy had a girlfriend, but he's saying that
Jeremy's married.
What?
You didn't hear that?
I don't think I heard that one.
Oh, no. So Jeremy's actually married. Like grandma came out, or not grandma, mother-in-law came out and was like, oh, no, this is my daughter and her son, or like my grandson. A picture with Jeremy.
This is my daughter and grandson?
Yeah, like she had a picture on her phone, and it was Jeremy, his wife.
Okay.
And Jeremy's son. Or at least that's what I saw. That's what I saw. I'll bring up the post later. I'll bring it up.
That's the thing. No, I mean, I did see that he was engaged, but he said he broke it off like right before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's not married. He's engaged. You're right.
Oh my God, Jordan. You're right. Okay.
Same.
He was engaged right before. And that's the thing is like, it's really confusing is like, did they even do a background check on these people? Did they actually look into their lives?
Hey, I'm happy they didn't.
Oh, I'm happy they didn't either. But that's the thing is like with Trevor, I'm like sad because it makes him come off. Like he was like the golden boy of the season. Everyone's like, he was done wrong. Honestly, I think he's already like filming for whatever that show is that they it's like the amalgamation. They take all the people from the circle and all the I can't even think of the name of it, but it's another love show. And I think he's filming for that, but and like he already has his talent management lined up. He's
good for him.
He's set, but like
I'm excited for how this ends.
I'm excited to see if it ends because these people are crazy. These producers go to the woodworks of the internet to find these people, and we can't thank you enough for it. You're doing the Lord's work.
So put in the comments, what do you think? Who's going to get married?
Who's going to be murdered?
Who's going to get killed? Yeah. But anyway, that's the end of our episode. I'm Jordan.
I'm Joe.
And this is Double Trouble Features. Joe, that's how you end it.
Is that how?
Yeah.
Maybe a little louder next time.